Mark Murphy had never felt worse. His nose was red and painful to touch, but he kept having to blow it, so it felt like it would never heal. To make things worse, he was a serial sneezer. If he did it once, he'd do it 4 or 5 times in a row. His head felt stuffed to the bursting point, and every breath sounded like there were marbles rattling in his chest. If there was one thought to give him comfort, it was that misery loves company, because nearly everyone on the Golden Sky was in a similar condition. Linda Ross's symptoms were only slightly less severe than his, but she hadn't escaped the viral infection that swept the ship like wildfire. Every few seconds, she'd shiver with a bout of chills. Most every passenger remained huddled in their cabin, while the galley pumped out gallons of chicken soup and the medical staff passed around handfuls of cold tablets. They were alone in the library, sitting opposite each other and holding books on their laps in the off chance anyone wandered in. Both had tossed wads of used tissues on the nearest coffee table. Murph said, "Let's go over it one more time." "Mark, please, we've done it 1,000 times already. It isn't the air conditioning or water systems. It's not in the food or anywhere else we've checked and double-checked. It's going to take a team of engineers tearing this tub apart piece by piece to find the dispersal device." Murph had been unable to come up with the solution without the distraction of the cold racking his body, and he really held little hope that it would come to him now, but he wasn't one to give up. "Come on, Linda, think. This is basically a floating city, right? What does it take to run a city?" She gave him a look that said she wasn't interested in playing his game, so he answered his own question. "Food, water, septic, garbage removal, and electricity." "Yes, they're going to poison the garbage." He ignored her sarcasm. "Or let's look at this another way. A cruise ship is a hotel. What do you need to run a hotel?" "The same things," Linda said, "plus little mints on your pillow at night." Mark suddenly shot forward in his seat. "You got it!" "Poison mints," she said archly. "Who brings the mints?"
"A maid."
"And what is she doing in your room in the first place?"
"Cleaning up and changing the..."
"Holy God!" Murph said, "The virus is introduced in the laundry. Passengers get fresh sheets every day. And if that doesn't expose them to the virus enough, there are fresh napkins in the dining rooms as well as in the crew's mess. How perfect is that? Wiping your mouth with a tainted napkin is as effective as giving someone a shot of the stuff. I bet within 12 hours of it being introduced into the washing machines, everyone on board comes into contact with viral-laden linens." He clamped his hands over his head. "Why didn't I think of this sooner? It is so obvious."
"It's only obvious after you think of it. Kind of like finding something in the last place you look," Linda teased, throwing Mark's words back at him.
She slowly levered herself to her feet.
"Let's go see if you're right."
Tom Severance wasn't sure what to do. The guards at the dock had reported capturing Max Hanley as he tried to escape the facility through the exhaust vent, of all things, and then they said they were being attacked by a black helicopter. For a brief instant, he feared the UN was behind the assault, what with rumors of their squadrons of black choppers. He caught a few snippets of garbled conversation over the walkie-talkie, and then everything had gone silent. The cameras mounted atop the guardhouse were out, so he finally ordered a vehicle to check out the dock.
"They escaped, Mr. Severance," the guard captain reported. "Hanley and another man in the chopper. The guardhouse has been destroyed, and so has the dock. A lot of my guys are missing."
"Are there any more of them?"
"I've got patrol sweeping now. So far it appears as if it was just the one man."
"Very well. Continue checking, and report anything out of the ordinary immediately."
Severance raked his fingers through his hair. Lydell Cooper's final orders had been very specific. He wasn't to send the signal for another 2 hours. But what if this had been the vanguard of a much larger assault? To delay might mean failure. On the other hand, if he sent the signal early, it could mean that not all the virus had been attached to the feed lines of the laundry machines on all 50 cruise ships.